Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the power of speech and silence. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The purpose of all speech is to clothe thought, and thus make our thoughts available for others. Speech reveals, and right speech can unite, just as wrong speech can divide. Doesn't it seem that people are talking more and more? I mean, there's much more communication through cell phones, internet, and so on. And also, is this good or not?
I don't know. I suppose each of us would answer that question differently if we are the proud owners of cell phones and stay in touch with our family and friends throughout the day. We probably think it's wonderful. And then there are those who wonder why people have so much empty, meaningless conversation, judging harshly without having the right to, but you can't help but overhear sometimes, and wondering why they don't take some time to just sit silently and think a thought. In any case, speech is a resource, as is silence, that I think every individual has to learn to manage. It's something that we need complete freedom to come to terms with, and each of us is doing it in our own way. But these programs on Inner Sight always try to view a subject from the viewpoint of spiritual energy, and so that's where we're going to focus today. The title of the program, as you said, is The Power of Speech and Silence. I don't know how many of us think of speech, of talk, of conversation, and of silence as conveying power or being channels for power, but they are. And when we think about it, the Bible opens the book of Genesis with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And without that Word, nothing was said that was something or other. I'm losing my quote. Do you have it, Dale? In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
There we are.
So
it all comes down to the Word, which is in Greek, logos.
And it's really talking about sound.
Mm-hmm.
Sound is the original force that was set in motion by the great logos of this planet, and it is what is the basis for all creation. All manifestation is a product of speech or of sound of some kind.
Did you ever hear, or is this just a fable, that there's this theory, probably a cockamamie theory, but it's a theory I heard years ago, that the pyramids were put in place through sound?
I've heard that. I mean, it's through...
Please don't call us and ask us how they did that, because we don't know.
Well, it's through... I think vibration. The theory was through levitation, moving those huge, big stones
But levitation caused by sound?
Used by the use of sound. I mean, that's in the books of Alice Bailey, it mentions how in the future, and perhaps even today, as some people are know the secrets, but in the future that sound will be used in ways that are not used today. I mean, we just use sound now through speech or through music or that, but...
They use it for healing. Sound is used to break up kidney stones, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
to measure the size and shape and development of a baby.
There is a way of using sound to effect a levitation of heavy objects. And once one knows the secret of how to do that, then that will change the way, buildings are built. And I've heard that sound will be used in the future by firemen.
Oh.
They will use sound
yes.
to control fire. This seems way out of bounds. And
again, don't call us up and ask us how they do that, please.
But it has to do with the controlling of the Deva evolution, which has to do with the little elementals of fire. So if you want to get into that, then that's a whole nother thing.
But you've already touched on the theme of this program this morning, which is that sound is a means of constructing, of building.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're not building the pyramids, but we're building our own heaven or hell. You can be sure of it through the way we use speech and the way we respond in silence. We are constructing our world as we know it through the way we speak and don't speak.
Yes, because it can sound, whether it's in speech or through music, is a very constructive element. It's a very constructive force, or it can be a destructive force too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It depends on the intent behind the sound, of course, and that's if the intent is to hate or to spread the sound of hate, then that's can be done too. But can also our speech is also a means of producing the flow of love
mm-hmm.
between two people, the energy of goodwill, of building right human relations, and there it's a building force. It builds right human relations. And so that is a very constructive use of sound.
I don't think, though, that you're referring to just those nice, sweet words of personal affection and, your hair looks so lovely today, and I just love that color on you, and that kind of blah, blah, blah. Are you?
No, I mean, that's all well and good, but there
it's
is
harmless.
An orator that has organized his thoughts, that has organized his and prepared his speech, and can speak with great authority and deliver the words with great meaning and can convey a lot of meaning to people. And this is, as it points out in the books, this is exactly the way, although on a human level, that that God works. In the beginning was the Word, and God constructs his ideas of how he wants to create this world, and he sets in motion the sounds that will produce those ideas in manifestation. And that's exactly what a great speaker does, who can organize his thoughts, bring them together, and speak authoritatively.
I don't think probably most of us realize that there is magical power in the way we use speech. And by magical power, I'm not referring to the magicians who have sleight of hand maneuvers and cut off arms and legs that are magically restored. Not that kind of showmanship. But the magic of the soul, which is called white magic in the ageless wisdom, and which brings in the power and the energy of the soul in unexpected ways. Speech can do this, and I think that's what you're implying. Can you think of a time when some situation or some person was in a great deal of distress or pain or confusion, perhaps yourself, and can you recall someone finding the right words to dispel that pain and confusion? I think most of us could think of certain situations where just the right word, usually very few words, came to mind and someone was able to speak them. It has a liberating influence, not because the other person has liberated the suffering individual, but because I think the one who finds the right words liberates some power, some spiritual strength within the person who needs to hear those words, if you follow me. It sets free some hidden realization within the person who's struggling, because all of our problems have to be solved by ourselves. They can't be solved by anybody else because there are problems. Other people have to solve their problems. But sometimes we can give people a key through the right words that unleash some recognition in their soul.
Right, I think that's, and usually that comes with wisdom. The wise person knows what to say and doesn't waste a lot of words in saying it. He's able to speak more wisely and more directly to the point, and knows just exactly what to say in within the given situation. And I'm reminded of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Good example.
And how few words he spoke with such eloquence. After listening to, was it Douglas, spoke at the same ceremony for about an hour.
And first.
And nobody remembers what he said.
It was a hot day, too.
But, you know, then Lincoln gets up and speaks these few words, which you can write on one side of a paper on an envelope, and
he felt he had failed.
Yeah, but it was a great, great speech. And so it doesn't take the amount of words, it's the wisdom behind the words that really matter.
Someone, some wise person, as you say, unknown to me, said something about speech that really registered with me, and I love to share it with others when I can. They said that there are three keys or three guidelines to when one should speak in those times when you're not really sure you should say anything or you're not sure what you should say. Ask yourself, this person said, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And generally, by the time you've gotten through those three questions, you've ruled out the right to speak. Not always, but quite often, one or more of those will cancel out that which was on the very tip of your tongue. And I think this is a good exercise in training us to anticipate the effect of our words, because truth, kindness, and necessity are what we hope will guide our speech and what we hope will guide the words others speak to us. I think there's probably not anyone among us who hasn't suffered from speech that has wounded us, and perhaps worse, hasn't suffered from speech that we have spoken that has wounded others. It's part of being human, and it's part of learning to control our energy and to manage our forces. So much pain comes through it, but I think that's because there's a lot of power. It's not just a pastime, it's a way of wielding force.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the power of speech and silence. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including many on speech. The Alice Bailey material is wonderful. There's so much depth to it, and it's so interesting. But I think probably before you get started on other volumes, it's probably a good idea to get Ponder on This. This is a wonderful time to get it because of the discount. And I liked it was one of the books that I started off with because ponder on this. All the themes within it are abridged from the larger versions, but you do get the essence of the larger books in this book, this compilation, entitled Ponder on This. So it's a good way to start. It's available for $19. The discount comes in the form of free shipping if you mention Inner Sight. Just mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So what you need to do, if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, is send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, the title of this Alice Valley book is Ponder on This. And the address, once again, $19 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. If you need to get in contact with us for any reason, give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. Once again, website, www.lucistrust.org. Sarah Dale, I was looking over the title, The Power of Speech and Silence. I've never thought of silence as having a power. Can either of you respond to... I mean, we have to address both sides of the equation here.
They go together. That's true.
So where is that power in silence?
Well, I think we have quite a lot of interesting examples in the movies, especially the Westerns. You know, the strong, silent hero, the type played by Gary Cooper and Clint Eastwood there.
Yeah.
Paragons of the power, power of silence. I suppose... it's the retention of speech, the resistance to babbling, that gives them the aura of strength, even though there might not be a thought in their heads. It's they may be silent because they simply haven't a clue what to say.
Yeah. They're just trying to think of their next lines. That's what.
And
how many times has a woman said, "I liked him until he opened his mouth"?
Yes, and then the illusion was dispelled.
Right.
Well, those among us who tend to talk too much know well how you dispel the aura of either beauty, strength, or depth of intelligence or whatever. It's all dispelled when you start talking.
Yeah.
Because then you reveal who you really are. Somebody, I think it was Ben Jonson, the playwright, who said, "Language most shows a man. Speak that I may see thee." When you talk, you reveal what's going on in your soul, in your mind, in your personality. It all comes out. And so if we think of our speech as revealing the quality of our substance, that should cause us to be a little more cautious.
Right, and those, just the opposite of that, there are those that are never quiet, that talk incessantly, and they have so much energy, apparently, that they just have to keep rattling off words.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a very strong impression for those kind of people, too. I mean, how they're misusing that energy and depleting their own energy, I think, by this incessant talking. And I think that's what... with all due respect to cell phones, I think that's what there is a tendency there, too, to waste a lot of energy.
Do you think that the plethora of conversation that's going on today on the Internet and on the cell phones and in chat rooms and on the television and so on is a sign of overstimulation, that we've got too much agitation in our mental and emotional bodies?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had telephones for 100 years, but it's only since the cell phone has come on the markets that things have been so chaotic. But it's just one of those phenomenons that people have to learn to control, I think.
Yes, and I think the present times are a period in which we are humanity learning to manage energy in very challenging ways. Maybe we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves, and we certainly shouldn't be too judgmental of those who are incessantly expressing themselves. It's what they are learning from it that counts. And the more we become aware that we are distributing force and hopefully now and then bringing through soul energy, the more we'll learn to manage this potential. It's a very stimulating time. Just so, I think we need to cultivate more silence.
Yes, that's actually one of the things that once a person takes his life in hand and, say, steps on the path of return, which is just what they call it, then the silence is very, very important, because as one approaches, he undergoes the disciplines of discipleship, let's say, and silence becomes ever increasingly important if he wants to ever proceed, through the various initiations, that because the deeper one goes in the initiation experience, the less he will have to, less he will talk. And in fact, the silence of the ashram, as they say, is a must. And it's one that a rule that cannot be disobeyed.
Yes, Pythagoras in ancient Crotona in Greece and other spiritual teachers often had a requirement for those young aspirants who came to study with them that they must submit to, I think in Pythagoras's case, 2 years of silence.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. As they were, yeah, think about it, everybody. 2 years of silence before they could be given the privilege of speaking. And there was a reason for that. It isn't just that they had nothing to say that was of interest. It wasn't that. But it was that he wanted them to learn to conserve their energy and to direct, I think, to direct the focus of their consciousness inward. There are certain things on the inner levels that you cannot hear until you have achieved quiet on the outer levels. And that is harder and harder today, not only with one's own speech patterns, but just the world we live in is full of noise. And so that's the challenge of our times, to cultivate this inner silence regardless of what's going on around one.
Yeah, that's a real challenge. And as I said, that as one begins to step on the path and apply the disciplines of the path, then this silence becomes ever more and more important.
Because you're listening on a different level. You're learning.
Yeah, and if you incorporate a practice of meditation in your life, then you've got to find a time and a place in your day where you can have a quiet time, a quiet meditation, a half hour or so, 30 minutes a day, where you can sit and not be disturbed. And this is a rare thing today to find this time.
Unfortunately, one of the things that works against the cultivation of silence is that too often those closest to us see silence as withdrawal from them. And that isn't necessarily the case. I've often heard people criticize older married couples who sit in each other's presence without speaking. Mm. Well, I'm joining that crowd, because after you've been married for a very long time, you don't necessarily need to say a great deal. Don't interpret it as boredom, their boredom with each other or their lack of anything interesting. They're simply at peace with each other and at peace with themselves. Think of when you're with a new person in your life, then you feel most compelled to talk.
Yeah, you feel almost a need to talk.
It's, yes, to keep the conversation
flowing.
Yeah,
but when you're really comfortable with someone, you talk when you want to. Mm-hmm. There's no anxiety about having to talk.
Yeah.
But in the future, they say, we will become more telepathic, and that will eventually reduce the amount of outward speech that we all engage in, and the whole society becomes more telepathic. There will be silence, will envelop the land, and that will be a great thing.
Hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine. We do? And you won't need. You can leave your cell phone at home.
Yeah. What kind of a radio show will we do then?
Well, yes, we would be bringing an end to our enterprise.
So just generate thought to the audience.
Well, yes, maybe we'll do that through the radio lines. But maybe we should close. And I think we have to continue this discussion. It seems like there's so much more to be said. But there's a thought from Alice Bailey that's interesting. She said, the disciple who seeks to enter within the portals of initiation cannot do so until he's learnt the power of speech and the power of silence. Until a man comprehends the significance of the spoken word, and until he uses the silence of the high places to bring about the desired effects, he can't be admitted into those realms wherein every sound and every word produces powerful results in matter. That gives us a forecast of what lies ahead and why the mastery of right speech and right silence is really an important aspect of spiritual development. Anybody who's undertaken spiritual training knows so much of it comes out in the way we use words, the written word, the spoken word. There's a great deal that it can teach us if we learn to listen to ourselves. It can be a little painful, but it's a way to learn.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including many on speech. It's available for $19. The discount comes in the form of free shipping if you mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight, which is this show. So what you need to do to take advantage of this offer is to send a check or a money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.